Forced in the fires of urgency, unknowingly, the engineers and manufacturers laid a fatal flaw within the steel hulls of the Liberty ships, a ticking bomb within every single vessel. Between 1939 and 1945, American shipyards built 5,770 ships, out of which 2,710 were Liberty ships, taking a part in an emergency program to supply Great Britain of vital goods for the war effort. The Liberty Ship Program was a massive undertaking. Designed for speed and simplicity, these vessels were assembled from prefabricated parts and fully welded instead of riveted, an innovation that allowed for rapid production to the tune of one vessel being produced every 8 hours in the United States in 1943. But the hasty production came with unforeseen consequences. In January 1943, in calm water and unloaded, the T-2 tanker Schenectady split in half only a few months after its completion. Within 3 months, the epidemic of failures spread out quickly, crippling dozens of vessels, some of which, without warning, split in two. No engineer nor shipbuilder could identify the reasons for the failures. The U.S. Maritime Commission was in full panic mode, but by the summer of the same year, the fractures had mysteriously stopped. Just when everyone thought this was just an anomaly, near the end of the same year, reports of Liberty ships breaking apart in the open ocean started to emerge once again. Ships were splitting in half without warning, often leading to tragic losses of both cargo and crew. Before we unravel the mystery of the Liberty ship, let me tell you about the sponsor of this video, Woodworkers Guild of America. As some of you may know, I have recently investigated the strength capabilities of wood from a scientific point of view, and for that I needed to prepare samples. For that reason, I have been using the video resources available at Woodworkers Guild of America. I recently learned how to properly construct wood joints, which I will be testing in an upcoming video. The videos are presented by professional instructors who walk you through each technique with step-by-step demonstrations, providing their expert tips and tricks. Woodworkers Guild of America is your online resource for woodworking instructions, ideas, and information. The first 1,000 of you to click the link in the video description will get a full year of premium membership to Woodworkers Guild of America for only $1.49, valid for new members only. Now back to the discussion. Soon after the failures, an investigation was launched which couldn't exactly figure out the cause of the problem, so they blame it on poor workmanship of the welders. Today we know the exact origin of the problem, and it was not poor welding skills, although in some cases poor welding made things worse. It took a few years for researchers to figure out the exact cause. In meantime, the Maritime Commission surrendered to the fact that fractures occurred and focused on arresting the propagation of cracks, rather than figuring out why cracks broke the ships in the first place. They identified that the corners of the hatches near the middle of the ship were most prone to fractures and reinforced those areas. The wave crest increases the hydrodynamic pressure at that point, causing the ship to bend, most excessively at its midpoint. This loading case explains very well the fracture locations along the ship, but this repetitive bending and metal fatigue were well understood at the time and alone were not supposed to cause the ships to split in half. Something else lurked beneath the ship. Across the Atlantic, a researcher by the name of Constance Tipper was investigating the steel of the fractured Liberty ships and noticed something extraordinary. At the time, it was well understood that when a crack is present in a ductile material such as steel, the material tends to yield and plastically deform around the crack, which blunts the sharpness and prevents further crack propagation. In brittle materials, such as glass for example, once a crack is formed, the stress concentration around the crack tip causes further cracking, which in fact increases the stress further and causes even more crack propagation. This positive feedback loop goes on until the crack traverses the entire member or reaches a thicker section. The ductility of a material is captured by a property called the fracture toughness. At normal conditions, steel has fairly high fracture toughness. However, Tipper noticed that this is temperature dependent. She tested the fracture toughness at various temperatures and saw that at low temperatures, this type of steel transitions to a brittle, glass-like material with very low fracture toughness. Suddenly, everything made sense. During the winter months, ships were behaving as if they were made out of glass, and every little crack propagated vast distances. The fact that the ships were all welded, the existence of poor welds, and the lack of high-quality steel all contributed to the 2,500 fractures that occurred between 1941 and 1945. However, the key component was the transition from ductile to brittle at low temperatures, which is further proven by the fact that no class 1 fractures occurred during the summer months. If you like this type of storytelling content, make sure to let me know in the comments and also to fracture the like button.